Share my screen. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're here, and I am so excited to talk to you more about human design and how you can use it in your life and how learning about yourself can really change and transform things for you. So, this is the Roadmap to You workshop. This is the first of many workshops called Navigating. In the navigating your unique design. So our time today is gonna look like we're gonna talk about frequency, but we're gonna also talk about human design, which is mostly why you're here. We're gonna talk about your human design type, your human design authority, which is how you make decisions. So I want to let you know, like, take what resonates with you and leave the rest. There's a lot of information. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. So if something is not resonating with you, just sit back, listen to the rest of it, and then come back. And something might come back, and you're like, oh, yeah, there was an aha that will happen later. So, my goal is to not to convince you, but rather for you to explore how human design can be helpful to you. And all experiences and reactions are welcome. You're welcome to share things in the chat. Sharing your experience is really optional. And I have a fun bonus at the end, and then we'll talk about how you can go deeper into using human design in your life. So, if you haven't already, make sure you have the handout that came in your reminder email. This is a handout for you to take notes, and it gives you just a high-level view of what we're going to be talking about today. And if you haven't already, make sure you run your human design report that's part of this workshop. This one is. The report is specifically designed to accompany the workshop, and it gives you all the information and gives you notes to go through later, and some reflection questions for you and how you can use human design. So, before we get started, I really want to make sure that there are some agreements that are happening. So, I want to create a safe a space that feels honest and connected. What is shared here stays here, and it's confidential and judgment-free. So please don't go and talk to your spouse or your friend, and you were like, I was in this workshop and somebody shared this. That is not yours to share. We are here to honor and witness everybody else, but we're not here to fix them, and also no advice unless someone asks. And really speak from your own experience and not for others. Be present in your body and your mind and your energy. If you start to find your mind is wandering, like, come back and just think, okay, what do I need to do to come back here? And you don't need my permission to go get water or to use the restroom. Really take care of yourself. And if you can, keep your camera on as much as you're able. That helps everybody feel the connection. Everybody here is whole and no one needs fixing. That is so important. And come with compassion for yourself and for each other. This is a lot of information, and sometimes you'll think, oh, that doesn't sound like me, or that's I'm not operating that way. We all have conditioning, and so sometimes it's helpful to really remember that, like, we have our own experiences, and having compassion for yourself can help you also be open to how the information can come in. And trust that each of us is finding our own way. So, a little bit about me. I am Erica. For those of you that don't know me, I am a decision mentor and an inner trust guide. I help women in midlife trust their unique guidance, understand their unique strengths, and stop saying yes to what drains them. And using human design, coaching, and Reiki, we clear the noise so that their no feels powerful. And their yes feels true. And I'll tell you a little bit about why human design is so important to me. I was in the middle of burnout in 2022, and I was doing all this healing and I was hitting the same roadblocks. And my therapist suggested I look up my human design type. And I thought, okay, like, this is what eat right for your blood type. I was really skeptical, but then I read about my authority and the centers, and I'll talk about what those are in a little bit. And something really quick clicked. I was so hooked. I wanted to know everything about this. This was the first time I had really felt seen in my entire life. Like, I have people who love me, but for me to see myself in a way that was so different. And I immediately felt like I had this amazing secret that I wanted to share with everyone. And I sent reports to friends. I like found things on the internet and like put it all together for them. And I really studied for about a year and a half before a friend said to me, "You talk about human design all the time. Are you ever going to do a reading for me?" And so I did a reading for her. She became my first client. And it was really magical because I was able to see not just how human design could work for me and my family, but to see it how it worked for clients and their families. So it was really, really powerful. I had no idea that human design would actually become one of the central tools I use with clients. It's opened up so much for me. It's opened up how I understand my spouse, how I understand my daughter, how I understand my parents and my sister. It's made me have a better relationship with my sister, and it has helped me feel like I'm a better wife and a better mother to my daughter. Okay. I lost my cursor here. Okay. So we're going to talk about frequency. And most people, I love this quote from Earl Nightingale, most people tip through life hoping to make it safely to death. And I know that most of us do not want to be in that space where we're just like mindlessly walking through our lives because that's not very fun. That's not why we're here. So why do so many of us feel stuck? We have been swimming in a culture of certainty and security and doing things the right way. We are really taught to minimize risk and to follow the crowd and to stay safe, stay comfortable, and stay small. We've been shaped in this go along to get along mindset. I don't know how many times I was told as a kid, make sure that you do what they say because you want them to like you. You don't want to rock the boat. But the truth is so many of us have not been shown about what's truly possible for us because we've not had these expanders, which are people that can show us what it looks like to live differently. And when we meet them, then things really start to shift for us. Because so much of us live in fear. Fear is this, we live in even really in terror, which is this intense sense and this intense state of overwhelming fear. And one of my teachers, Julie Ciardi, I love this quote from her. She says, "To achieve what you must, what you start over, to achieve what you truly desire, you must face your fear to develop faith. Nothing conquers fear better than action." And I learned this about frequency from her. And it was a new way that, like, to think about energy, because frequency is not really the same as a feeling. We all have frequency. And if you listened to the private podcast I sent you, you know, I talked about frequency a lot in that. So our emotions come and go, and we can feel fear or sadness, but still be holding a higher frequency. We are not meant to be in this toxic positivity state all the time. So many of us feel like, oh, I should be happy. I should feel happy every day. And we don't. And we start to beat ourselves up because we're really designed to experience this full range of human emotions. There is a difference between negative feelings and a negative frequency. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Our goal is not to avoid emotions. It's really to understand the energy that we're holding that's underneath them. So Dr. David Hawkins came up with this map of consciousness, and he looked at the frequency of people and the emotions and the predominant emotional state that we tend to feel. So it goes from shame at 20, and then up to fear at 100, and then 175 is pride, courage is 200, and then we get into the 300s, which is trusting and forgiving and love and reason and joy and peace. And at the very top is enlightenment. And really, the people that feel enlightenment are like Jesus and Mother Teresa and Gandhi and people who are like the big teachers. And the goal is not really to reach that. The goal is to like get over the 200. This is another way to look at it. Moving from that victim consciousness state that so many people live in right now into a more conscious state of feeling courage that it's you can move into that, and it's there's this willingness to stop blaming stuff others and accepting responsibility for your own actions and your own feelings and your own beliefs. Because when we are stuck in that victimhood, we don't feel like we can grow. We blame everybody else for our problems. So where most people operate is around 200. We're in survival mode. We're in that obligation. We're just trying to get through the day. And at about 400 is when we feel like there's a more purpose in our life, there's more meaning in our life. And then that 700, like I said earlier, that's Gandhi and Jesus and Mother Teresa, those who have really reached enlightenment. You don't need to get to 700, but you can shift from 200 to 400 just really by understanding yourself. So how do we shift? That's where human design comes in. And this is not about changing who you are. It's really about understanding who you are so deeply that you stop outsourcing your truth, that you stop asking everyone else for their opinions on what decisions you make. You stop asking everyone else about who you should be. I talk about a lot with my clients to like, don't should on yourself. Because when you're stuck in the shoulds, you're not being listening to yourself and you're not trusting yourself. Helping you trust yourself really helps you make sense of what you already are and let go of what doesn't. So, what is human design? You've heard me talk about this. This is a human design chart, and we'll talk more about what this is. Human design is based on your birth date, time, and location. And it seems crazy to me that like these three pieces of information can give us so much about you and about yourself. And what's really cool is when I start to talk to clients and they're like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And we tend to think that like that birth time, date, and location doesn't have a whole lot of like doesn't really set about who we are, but it really, really, truly does. And I'm amazed every single time I work with a client how much it resonates with them and how we can find so much about their family members. So, human design combines the ancient wisdom of the Chinese I Ching, astrology, the chakra system, the Kabbalah tree of life, and quantum physics. And this gives us insights into your energy, how you best make decisions, your strengths and your challenges, your life's work, how you digest information. It gives us so much. And we're just going to talk about two pieces of it. And I think some of times that that's the most actionable pieces for you. So some terms that you'll hear me mention are type, which is how your energy interacts with the world. Strategy is how aligned opportunities actually come to you. And signposts, which are invitations to notice when you're on track or when you're off track. Also, your authority, which is something else we're going to talk about today. This is how you are really truly meant to make decisions, not from your mind, but from your body's wisdom. Your body gives you so much information. And then there is profile, which is your unique purpose in your life's work, and that is a whole other workshop in itself. And then the centers, which are the shapes that you'll see in the chart, these are your energy themes and your lessons. Another workshop that's coming. And then definition is how you process information. The channels are the lines that connect the centers. They have your natural strengths and also your kryptonite or your challenges. And then there are the variables, which is like so even more about how you digest food, environment, the right mindset for you. I don't even talk about variables with my clients yet because it's so complex. So when you look at, when you pull your chart, you pull up your body graph, and this is what most people see, and they're like, okay, too much information. I have no idea what all the numbers mean. Next. But what I help you do is help you break down what all of these things mean. So you'll see two lines of numbers, and on the right is where the planets and were at your birth. And then on the left, the green, is where the planet placements were 88 days before your birth, which is when your soul was downloaded into your body. It doesn't matter if you were born on time or if you were born prematurely. This is the time that when that soul was downloaded. And then we look at the centers, which are these shapes in the middle. There are nine centers. And then you have what are called the channels or the superpowers, and they connect the centers. And then there are the gates. And you might have one that's defined, that's in black, or you might have one that's undefined, that's not colored in. They all mean something. The ones, these numbers on the side are actually what light up the ones over here. And then when you have two gates on each side connected, then that creates the channel, which then creates the center. Okay, so we're going to talk about type. How many of you know what your human design type is? Okay, so your type is how your energy moves through the world. It shows you how you best use your energy, what helps you feel lit up or drained, how your aligned opportunities naturally come to you, what your energy needs to feel clear, magnetic, and fulfilled, and how to collaborate and connect in ways that feel good. You don't have to chase anything because your energy is really aligned and your life will respond to you. So there are five types. There's generator, manifesting generator, projector, manifester, and reflector. And we're going to talk about the least common first, and then we'll get into the most common because the generator and the manifesting generator sort of are the same, but they're two different flavors of the same. Oh, I lost my mouse. Okay. So they also reveal your strengths, how you can tap into your gifts, being really clear about your needs, how you can best sleep well. It sounds really crazy, but when we know that somebody needs to run out their energy before they sleep, or somebody needs a really long bedtime, that comes up in the type. And this also helps you find fulfillment in your relationships with others. So the first one we're going to talk about is reflector. This is an evaluator. They are the mirrors. They are 1% of the population. They're the observers, the evaluators. They are deeply attuned to the energy in their environment. They reflect the health of the space they're in, and what they feel may not be theirs because they are taking in energy and from everybody. They're absorbing so much. They are here to observe, to sense, and to guide, and to not keep up with everyone else. Their energy is really fluid, it's not fixed, and it naturally and ebbs and flows. They're not meant to be consistent, so giving themselves permission to change is really important. Some signs that they are in alignment is surprise is what they will feel. That's not the emotion, it's just how their body feels. And then when they're out of alignment, they are going to feel disappointment. So our next type is manifester. They are the initiators, they're the founders, they are 8% of the population. They are here to be the trailblazers, they're here to bring new ideas and new movements into the world. They really thrive on independence, and they're designed to take bold and creative action. They are the people who are here to start things, but they are not here to do all the work. A lot of times when you talk to manifestors, they'll say, "Well, I'm great at starting things. I'm great at doing things, but I am terrible on follow through," which is exactly how they are designed to work. They are here to get things started, but the builders of the world are actually the ones who are going to bring those ideas to life and to do the work. Their energy really moves in bursts, so they will have periods where they will be like super creative, and then they will have times when they really need to rest between those waves of creation. They thrive on freedom to follow the impulses and the urges and to inform others of what they plan to do. So, for example, if you have a manifestor kid, and they want to build a rocket in their backyard, a model rocket in their backyard. And they're going to be like doing all the things, and they're like, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this." And you're like, if you're a parent, you're like, "What are you doing?" Because they did not inform you, then that is not allowing the energy to settle around them. Whereas if they were like, "Hey, mom, I'm going to go build a rocket in the backyard." And then they're just like, and you're just like, "Okay, great, do it." So a lot of people who are inventors are manifestors. They bring the founder of human design was a manifestor, and he just like brought this movement in. And so informing people is really important for manifestors, especially when they are going to be doing something big. And it's not necessarily that they need to ask for permission. They are just informing people that who will be impacted, like your kid who is going to go build that rocket in your backyard. If they're just like, "Hey, mom, I'm going to go do this," you can be like, "Great, go do it." And know that they might not follow through on all of it. So, some signposts for manifestors: when they're in alignment, they are going to feel a real sense of peace. And when they're out of alignment, they're going to feel anger. I had a client who was a manifester, and when I first presented to this, she's like, "No, I don't feel angry." But as we dug in, anger kept coming up as something that she felt when things were out of alignment, when things were not going the way that she wanted, and especially when she was told no. We realized that when she was a kid, when she was being told no, that that's when the anger would come up. Okay, so now we're going to get into projectors, and I know we have a projector with us. So, projectors are the advisors, they are the guides. They're 20% of the population. They are here to be the visionaries. They can see a bigger picture that those of us who are generators and manifesting generators cannot see. They are guides for us, and they can lead us with insight. My sister is a projector, and she could see things that I couldn't, and I used to drive me crazy. She would ask me questions like, "Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about this?" And I was like, "I don't know. I just am starting step one." She could see this bigger picture that I could not see. So their wisdom is really most powerful when it is invited in. If you are a projector and you're like seeing something, you can say, "Hey, would you be interested in knowing what I'm seeing? I have some feedback that I would like to share with you of things I'm seeing." Then that settles the energy. And then you can say, when they say yes, then you're like, "Oh, okay, I can proceed." If they say no, then you know that that's not invited in yet. And your energy really ebbs and it flows because you're not meant for consistent doing. Same with manifestors. You need rest, you need recognition. That is key to your success. Feeling recognized is one of the key things for projectors, but also you probably need a longer time to get ready for bed. You probably really like those long bedtimes. And when you feel seen and valued for your gifts, then your energy really starts to come through, and then you just feel, oh, so dang successful. letting, and it's not about like sitting back and waiting for people to recognize you and give you that invitation. It's really about like letting people know what you're offering, because then that opens the door for those invitations to come in. And remember, recognition, self-recognition really comes for first, because the more you see your own brilliance, then that opens up that energy for others to see it in you too. A lot of projectors don't see the gifts that they have. When you are in alignment, you're going to feel successful. It's just going to feel like, oh, yes, I am doing what I need to do. And when you're out of alignment, there's going to be some bitterness. That bitterness tends to come in a lot of times when you are giving advice that's unsolicited, or and you're like, oh, I told them what they need to do. Why aren't they doing it? Or nobody is recognizing me. Nobody, I feel like I'm just invisible to people. And that bitterness can grow. But if you are allowing yourself to see yourself more and seeing the gifts you have, then that those feelings of success come in. Okay, so our next type is generator. I'm a generator. I know we have a generator here also. And we are the builders, we are the producers. We are 35% of the population. Generators and manifesting generators that we're going to talk about next are the natural builders in the world. We have this sustainable energy that when we are doing things that we love, we are lit up, and people sense that in us. They are drawn to that magnetic energy we have. We have an enveloping aura. When people are like, oh, I want some of what she's having. We are also not meant to initiate like the manifestors. We are here to respond. We are here to wait for a spark and then move forward. A lot of times it is responding to a, it can even be responding to a text, or like I said earlier, a friend who's like, hey, I'm really interested in what you're talking about. That was my response to her. And then I could move forward. Doing what we love really fuels the energy, and it makes us more magnetic. When we are in alignment, there is this true sense of satisfaction. Generators and manifesting generators know this feeling well, because when we are doing what we love, we can lose track of time. I will go upstairs and I will start sewing, and I'm like, I'm gonna go sew for an hour. And my husband will be like laughing in the background, because he's like, she's not gonna sew for an hour. 4 hours later, I am walking downstairs because I have completely lost track of time, because I've been so engaged and so lit up by what I'm doing. Whereas on the other hand, when we're out of alignment, we feel frustration. We just feel like nothing is happening. We feel like we are stuck in the mud. So now we're going to talk about manifesting generators. They are generators and manifesting generators are sort of the same type. It's just two different flavors. So the manifesting generators are the express builders. They are the catalysts. They are 35% of the population. I know we have a manifesting generator here. I am married to a manifesting generator. They are multi-passionate, fast-moving people. They can have multiple pots going on the stove and just be moving quickly between things. Or they might be doing one thing and doing another thing, and it's like all of a sudden you're like, how do they do this thing so fast? They excel at bringing ideas and things to life. They are also some of the builders, but they're not going to be as step by step as the generators. The generators will do things very in a very step-by-step process. The manifesting generators are going to be like a little of this and a little of this and a little of this. You can tell who a manifesting generator is based on how if they follow recipes. Generators will follow a recipe to a T. Manifesting generators are just like, yeah, this looks good. So they really thrive when they are following their excitement. And one of the things that makes a manifesting generator so key and so important is they allow themselves to pivot. When something is no longer feeling right, if they allow themselves to be like, okay, this is not right, pivoting to what feels right really settles their energy, and th then that brings them into that sense of being lit up again. So paying attention to what shows up in your world, what lights you up, and responding to it. Same as the generator, responding, but also noticing things that maybe are catching your attention. It's not shiny object syndrome. It's really just responding and noticing what's coming in that's like, oh, this is no longer aligned for me, and moving to what is aligned. And if it feels like things are not coming to you as a manifesting generator, there is a possibility that you are moving faster than your energy can actually magnetize to you. So generators and manifesting generators are like magnets. What wants to come to them wants to come to them. But if for a manifesting generator, if you're moving too fast, that energy does not have time to come to you. So again, the signposts for the manifesting generators are the same as the generators. That alignment, that satisfaction, losing track of time. When they're out of alignment, they're going to feel like they're hitting walls. That's the frustration. Okay. So I can't see the chat. Let's see here. Nope, I can't see the chat. So if you have any questions about type, let's leave them for the end. Just go ahead and jot them, put them in the chat, and I will, when we come off the, when I stop sharing my screen, I can answer those for you. So we're going to now talk about authority. So your authority is not necessarily tied to your type, but your type can actually influence your authority. This is how you best make decisions. Your body really knows before your mind and how it communicates with you. This is one of the things I work with on clients all the time. We really work on tuning in to what their authority is telling them, because when they trust that authority, then they're more likely to make aligned decisions. They're more likely to feel like they really truly trust themselves. And this is about what your mind is, not your mind, but with your body. That's, I'm going to emphasize that over and over and over again. So there are seven authorities in human design. We're going to start with the least common first, and then we'll work up to some of the, we're going to actually go not necessarily in common order. We're going to go in the slowest to the fastest, because everybody's authority works differently. So for reflectors, that 1% of the population, they need to wait sometimes an entire lunar cycle. It comes through patience. It's not spontaneous. They need to notice and observe and reflect over time on what their decisions will be. We know that's not realistic in today's modern world, but for those big decisions, that can be really helpful, giving them that time. If they need to, if they're going to buy a house, we know in today's market that like you can't wait 28 days to decide if that house is the right one, but making that decision to buy the house and waiting for that 28 days and like what neighborhood you're going to be in, that gives you that sense of like, oh yes, this is right. And I never understood this about why they needed this 28 days. But what happens is the sun goes through all of the energies in the human design chart. There are 64 energies or 64 gates. And by allowing the sun or the moon, sorry, to go through all of those 64 gates, that allows them to tune in to the energy of each one so that then they can observe and reflect about what is truly in alignment for them. And it's about reflection, 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 not rushing and observing. Okay, so the next one that's also slow, not 28 days, but can be several days, is what's called wait for clarity. This is the emotional authority. This is 53% of the population. How often were we taught when we were kids to make quick decisions, depending on your family? We were taught to like think with our mind. What is your decision? What is your decision? What is your decision? But 53% of the population needs to actually sleep on their decisions. Manifestors, projectors, generators, and manifesting generators can have this authority. This also means that they have a defined emotional center, which plays into their decisions. So they're really meant to sleep on their decisions, to take their time to feel into decisions before committing to a yes. Time is your friend. Feeling into these decisions really gives you the clarity that you need. Because you're not meant to decide at the moment, your best decisions come over time. I have this authority, and I can tell you that I used to make quick decisions, and 90% of the time, I would regret them. When I'm in a group, I'll ask them, I'll say, how many of you have bought something, clothes, a bag, something, and then you regret your decision a few days later? And I guarantee you, 100% of the people who have this emotional authority raise their hands. I can even ask, like, how many of you have done that? And then I'll say, do you have a wait for clarity authority? And they're like, yes. Because I can tell you for a fact that, like, learning how to sleep on your decisions can be really hard, but that's when your best decisions come. Learning how to sleep on those decisions, knowing what feels right at the time. If you love it more as time goes on, then you know it's the right thing. You're not meant to decide in the moment. Yes, you can decide what you're going to have for dinner. You can make some decisions quickly, but these big decisions, like whether or not you're going to get married, that is important to wait and sleep on it. I have a really funny story to tell you about this because my now husband said, hey, we should get married. And I was like, I don't feel like I know you well enough. He gave me some time. He didn't give me days, he gave me months. But then by the time he asked me, I knew that it was the right decision. And so I know that if I have a decision to make, I will like tune in and I'm like, okay, is this the right decision for me? Sleep on it. And then I will know. So, one of the reasons we need longer time is because people who have a defined emotional center actually have what are called emotional waves. And those emotional waves, we don't want to make decisions on a high and we don't want to make decisions on a low because we will regret our decisions. We get wrapped up in everybody else's emotions. We get wrapped up in like people's excitement and we're like, okay, I'm in, I'm in. And then we get in there and we're like, oh gosh, how can I back out of this? People will tell you, they're like, oh yes, I have tried to figure out how to back out of every decision that I've made. So coming off of those emotional highs or those emotional lows and coming to a settled, calm space gives us that sense, that idea, or not the idea, but gives us allows our energy to settle so that we can then be really tuned in to what is the right decision for us. It's really a challenge to give ourselves pause because we want to make decisions as quickly as other people. Okay. And so people who different types actually experience this emotional clarity differently. So for manifestors, they need to be wait to be moved by that emotional clarity and then inform others before they take action to clear any resistance. So it's really clarity before emotion and then informing before impact. For projectors, it's that wait to be recognized and invited and then wait for clarity before making a decision. So it comes with the right timing, comes with the right recognition, and then you know it's the right path. And for generators and manifesting generators, they will respond to something. They'll respond to a question or an interaction or an opportunity or even an invitation, and then, which is an opportunity, or they'll respond to maybe an article or something that they need to do. And then they need to wait for that emotional clarity before they commit. Because if it's not clear, it is not the right time. And I tell people over and over, it doesn't mean it's a no forever. It's a not yet. And they'll know. Like, the more people work with this authority, the more that they start to really trust it and know it. So our next one is the talk it out or the self-projected authority. This is for projectors only. Their truth actually comes from their voice, and using their voice will reflect that back to them. They need to talk to somebody who they trust, somebody who will listen without judgment and would not offer advice, and somebody who knows them well enough that might say, "Hey, did you notice how your voice changed?" That can help them feel into what is really in alignment. They'll hear themselves say it out loud and they'll be like, "Oh, I know exactly what I need to do." They'll feel it really land in their body, or they'll feel this subtle inner knowing and they'll pull in their chest, or it's this clarity that finally clicks. If they are rationalizing or trying to explain things, it is a no. So really, if you have this authority, like, speak from your inner self, because your truth is in your words. Let me see if I have anything else to say about this. And then give themselves time to verbally process things, talk things out with people that they trust, and don't rush those decisions. It can be really helpful to let others know that you need to talk and that you just need them to be a supportive presence. Sometimes, for people with this authority, they just need to talk into their phone and listen back to themselves. They'll hear something, or by hearing themselves talk, they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, no, I know exactly what I need to do." So, our next one is tune into your willpower. This is less than 1% of the population, but this is for projectors and manifestors only. This is about following your heart, following your motivation. Your heart and your energy really need to be aligned. And making sure that yes is about desire and not from a place of proving. These people, their will center or their ego center is where they're making those decisions. And it really is about this willful determination. And if they feel into that will, they're like, "Ooh, do I have the energy for this? Is this for me? Is this what I want?" And paying attention to that spontaneous "I have" or "I will" statements really reflects what is true, a true yes for them. And a lot of times these people have been told that they are selfish because they need to ask themselves, "What do I want and what's in it for me?" But they're not being selfish. They're just doing what's truly in alignment for them, because if they're not in alignment, it's going to feel like it really can harm their energy. It can harm their health because they're making decisions from their mind or external pressures. And also, when their heart is no longer in it, then they need to get out of the commitment, because that starts to impact their body physically. When they feel energized and motivated and lit up, then they know it is a yes. And also, rest is truly important for people with this authority. If they're feeling depleted, they may say yes to things that they later regret. Really getting clear and getting rested and resourced will then allow them to check in with their heart again. So now we're coming to what's called the environmental or the mental authority. This is be in the right space and talk it out. And it has some similarities to the talk it out authority. This is 1.4% of the population. This is for projectors only. So their clarity really comes from being in the right environment and talking it out with the right people. They are not going to be making fast choices. They need to be giving themselves time and space to talk it out and observe how things really feel in their body. It's crucial for them to find environments that feel really safe and good and grounded, and to be with people who also give them that same sense of security and groundedness. Their clarity really comes through conversation in the right places and giving them places, finding those good places are really key. Maybe they have a favorite coffee shop that they go to when they really need to talk through things. Being that will give them that calm and not feel like they're under pressure. It's really essential for them to spend time in different places and with different people. They might need to talk to five different trusted people before they really truly feel what is right for them. If they are rationalizing or explaining things, it is a no, because then we know that they're making their decision from their mind and not from their body. We want to make sure that they're not deciding from their emotions or their instincts and that they're actually listening to what's really true for them in the moment. Their clarity comes from observation and from their presence and from the space that they are in. I have a friend who has this, and she knows that when there is something that's really crucial that she needs to talk to her husband about, they go to a place near the ocean because they live in England and they'll go like sit on the cliffs and talk. So, this is really key to not rush it and to find a space that really allows them to feel into their truth. So, now we're going to get into the authorities that are really quick. There are two. The first one is to try tune into your instincts. This is the splenic authority. This is 9% of the population. There are manifestors and projectors only who can have this. Their instincts really speak so fast, and sometimes they're very quietly. Sometimes it's just like this inner whisper, or sometimes it's just inner knowing. And really trust that first hit of that inner knowing, because it might not repeat itself. And learning how to trust those instincts is a real learning experience. Learning how to trust it in your body and really create space and stillness to allow those instincts to come in because it speaks fast. And if you're really unsure, like go back to the times when you listened to that first instinct versus when you ignored it. And this is when you will see this pattern. So let's say you're looking for a new house, and the moment you walk in, you just feel it, just like, oh, yes. This is my house. You could also get that same sense when something is wrong. So notice that those subtle sensations that are coming through. And when you start thinking, like, is this a smart choice? You're talking yourself out of it. So really stay present and aware and tuned into the physical responses your body is giving you. Your instinctual knowing brings those right decisions in the right time. And stepping away from other people's opinions, other people's energy, unplugging for a bit will allow you to come back and reconnect to your inner knowing. Really avoid letting your mind and other people's emotions override that instinctual knowing, because your knowing cannot always be explained, but it's always right. There will be people who will be trying to get you to give them logical reasons about why you are a yes or a no. And that's not your business. That's not your responsibility. That is being true to yourself and saying, I just know it. A lot of people who have this are they're like, I don't know why, I just know it. They just can't come up with a logical reason. And our brains in our society like want that logistical reason. Other people want that logistical reason from us. But don't try to justify yourself to others, because then you start to doubt yourself and you start to wonder, like, is this really what I need? Is this really the right thing for me? And take that risk. You know that, like, what is right for you at the time. And things can always change. And then our last authority is the trust your gut authority. This is 33% of the population. This is also known as the sacral authority because people who have this are either generators or manifesting generators. They have the sacral center defined. This is a very, also as quick as the splenic, but they're going to feel it differently. When we talk about people to needing to trust their gut, this is what we're talking about. They get an immediate yes or an immediate no in their gut, and their body responds first. You can ask them a question and they'll say, or and they're like, and before their mouth even says yes. So asking a kid who has this authority to say, use your words, is totally teaching them to not trust that initial response because their body is re responding first. And that guttural, or is coming from their sacral as opposed to coming from their mind. And anything less than a hell yes or a hell no is a can be a not yet. They need to be really true about, like, this is a hell yes for me. And that clarity comes fast. Their body, their gut knows, like I said before, their mind. If they are starting to rationalize things or having to explain their decisions, then you know that they are in their mind. So how can you tune into this gut? Having someone ask you yes or no questions gets you into your gut, and that you'll hear that or come through. If they're like, I don't know, then you know that's not now, or they need you need to ask it differently. I have friends that have this. I have had multiple clients have this, and I'll ask them rapid fire questions, and they'll be like, and then they'll stop and they'll pause and they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that that was my answer. Asking somebody with a trust your gut authority, open-ended questions actually gets them into their mind and it creates confusion and it really just doesn't allow them to tune into their gut. For generators who have, and manifesting generators who have that emotional authority, the one that they need to sleep on, they're going to get that initial gut response in the same way. But if it's a bigger decision, they need to sleep on it. For people who have this trust your gut authority, they don't need to sleep on it. They have the answer to their question. And having people ask them simple, clear questions is really important. And it might be just like, do ways to practice this is like, do you want pizza or tacos for dinner? Two options is really helpful because if you're saying, okay, so we have pizza, we have tacos, we have corn dogs, we have this, we have that, and they're just like, oh, I don't know. Too many options. Whereas if it's just like, do you want pizza? Yes. Do you want pasta? Like they're going to know immediately. And clients that I've had that I've worked with that have had this, a lot of times they've grown up in families where they're like, are you sure? Because you couldn't have possibly come up with that decision so quickly because they've been taught. And so a lot of times they've been taught to really second guess themselves because their authority seems too quick for other people and it makes other people uncomfortable. If you've grown up in a family with different authorities, you are taught usually the same authority as your parents. So if your parents had emotional authority and they knew that they needed to sleep on their decisions, but you have a quick trust your gut authority or a splenic authority, they're going to be like, how are you sure? Are you sure? Or if you grew up in a family that had trust your gut or sacral authorities, like I did, or my sister has a splenic authority, everybody in my family had this super quick decision-making processes. And then I come along and I'm like, I don't know. They're like, "Will you just make a decision?" When I needed to sleep on my decisions, and when I slept on when I started to learn how to sleep on my decisions, like now I am really truly solid in my decisions. So it goes both ways. Learn, we all are taught different ways of making decisions. And so a lot of times if you're taught to second guess yourself based on how your family made decisions, then that gets really dicey. And coming back to like learning how to make decisions is one of the biggest things I work with my clients. So I'm going to give you some homework. I know that this is not a workshop that you need to check in with me, but just I want you to notice over the next week, like start paying attention when a decision comes up. Do you feel clear or are you overthinking? Are you justifying or are you second guessing yourself? And are you tuning into your authority or are you trying to talk yourself into something? Notice that. Just notice there's like nothing for you to fix, but come back to the workbook, read the workbook that you got. And like there are reflection questions in there for you. You can come back and rewatch the workshop over the next 2 weeks or listen to it. It will be uploaded into the private podcast so you can come back to that. And like keep coming back to how your clarity shows up because the more you trust it, the more confident you're going to feel in your decisions. So, as a bonus, if you reply to the replay email, you're going to get another handout, which is setting goals based on your human design type. I recently learned this a few months ago, and I was like, oh my gosh. This makes so much sense. So I'm giving it to you as a bonus, but you have to reply to the email that has the replay that'll be out in a few hours. So I'm going to stop sharing and I want to know if there are any questions.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Heather.
I have a couple questions for you. The first one is actually about the replay. I have another friend who wanted to catch it. Is it something that other people can sign up for later on?
Yeah, you can even share forward the email to her and share
Okay,
it with her.
perfect. Okay, I will do that.
Yes.
And then my next question is, as a like I'm a sacral authority, and so I struggle with like helping my kiddos that have that emotional authority like have the time and space to make the decisions that they need to make. How can you like support them? Like, what's the best way to support them if your like decision making is different?
So one of the things you can do, you have the sacral authority. And so you know pretty quickly what's happening for you, what's the right thing for you. For your kid that has the emotional authority, asking them a question, and I don't remember if they are a projector or are they a generator? Or maybe,
Generator.
okay. So they have that initial response. So they have that same response that you do. So teaching them like, what feels like a yes in their body, and then saying, okay, so it feels like a yes right now, but I want you to sleep on it. And in a couple of days, I'm going to ask you again. And I want you to tell me, does it feel better now? Or is it still a yes for you? Or is it a no for you? Because if they start to feel like they'll start to feel a sense of dread. Like they'll say yes, and then they'll wake up a few days later and they're like, oh, I really don't want to do that. So
Yeah.
being a parent and noticing their body language, if they're like leaning in and they're like, yeah, I want to do that, or if they're like, oh, no, like that is still tapping into that gut response, that initial gut response for them, but it's also their sleeping on it has allowed their body to settle into the energy of being a yes or a no.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful to just like give them permission to change their mind, because I found recently, like for a while, I was like presenting decisions at bedtime, but now even when I present them at bedtime, he's going with that initial response. I'm like, oh, this isn't working as good as it used to.
So also doing it when they're not, like, he has emotional waves. So his emotional waves might, and I don't remember what his emotional wave is, but there are four different types of waves. And
His is
so,
relationships, I think.
okay. So his is going to be like what is going to be important to him, but there's like this, he has his just sort of goes up, and it's like as things feel good, he's like, oh yeah, that feels really good. So for some people, his wave isn't quite as like volatile as some of the other waves. So just being like, okay, I want to ask you a question. And you'll know when he's feeling really calm. Like, if a good time is to ask at dinner, when you're all together, you are all balancing each other's energy out, and just saying, like, hey, what do you think about this? Do you want to do this? You've been invited to so and so's birthday party. Do you want to go? And they'll say, I don't know. And if it's an I don't know, then you kind of have your answer. Or if it's an then that's a yes for now, and then ask a couple days later. And I know we've talked before, like you ask the next day, but that's not giving him enough time. So if you can give him a minimum of 2 nights to sleep on things, that allows him to go through all of these emotional waves, because his body needs to adjust to the energies, and our energies change. I mean, it doesn't always change every 24 hours. It changes over time. And he's going to wake up some days, and he's not going to be able to tell you why he's not feeling great. He's just off. So don't ask him on those off days.
So much time. So hard for
Yes.
the sacral authority to wait for those answers.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any more questions? Talia.
So my authority as a projector is splenic, and I remember back in the day, not even realizing I was doing this, just trusting my intuition and just following it. But then life happens, and I feel like I'm relearning to trust my intuition. And so sometimes I'm like, is that my intuition and my knowing, or is that my mind stepping in too quickly? And then is that when I would just need to sleep on it? Like sometimes I don't know if it's my mind or my intuition.
So one way you'll know if it's your mind is if you're coming up with a pros and cons list, or you are feeling like you need to justify your decision. And so what I would encourage you to do is like have some quiet time or go for a walk, and like what feels right in your body. If you're just like, oh yes, like there's just this like sense of like I have to do this, or a sense of just like it just feels so good, as opposed to like, okay, so this, I'm gonna do this because if you're doing because, then you've gotten into your mind. Does that make sense? So if you can really like be quiet, and it's not even really tuning into it, it's just like having that quiet space, being able to go for a walk and not letting your mind get into it, just being able to like what is feeling right in my body.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make
Okay.
sense?
Yes.
It is one of the hardest ones to like under to like grasp because it's so fast, but it's just like you just it's just the people I've talked to that have this are they're just like, I just know. I can't tell you why, but I just know. Okay.
Okay. And I remember being like that, but again, life happens, and so it's now I feel like I'm relearning it. So
Yes.
it's interesting.
That's what a lot of this is like relearning how we used to be. Because when we were kids, we were living our design so perfectly. We had not been conditioned by other people, by our, I mean, we were being conditioned by our parents, but like kids who are up to age 8 are really who they truly are. And then age 8 starts to happen, and then they're like, they're getting conditioned by their friends, they're getting conditioned by their parents, they're getting conditioned by their teachers. And so then I mean, if you think about it, like think of like a rubber ball is who we truly are, but then we get a rubber band put around and another rubber band put around and another rubber band put around. And so then we become like this big massive ball of rubber bands, but we don't even realize, remember, we don't remember what's at the core. So like peeling those off and like coming back to that like little rubber ball of who you really were. So go back to some of your decisions, bigger decisions you've made, and you're like, oh, okay, what came up that I just knew? Like, what decisions did I just know so deeply? So reflecting back for a splenic authority, it can be really helpful to reflect back on what decisions you've made from that inner knowing place.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, I've got a question.
Okay.
So my authority is trust your guts, and I can think of, some big decisions where it seemed like I was trusting my gut, but in hindsight, I was completely wrong.
Okay.
An example is in 2019 when we were talking about moving, and I did not want to move. And I thought I was trusting my gut. And then you were very persuasive in directing a decision, convincing me that it was the right thing to do. I wonder where was I? What was the miscommunication with my gut? Where was the mistrust with my gut on that? Because if it were up to me, if I had taken that and thought, well, my gut says, let's not move. That would have been the wrong decision. And I would have been, wrong about that. So where am I confusing the issue here?
So two things. You had that initial gut response. We need to move. You knew it. You told me we needed to move. We had talked about it.
Yes.
But knowing how you were raised, this is where we get into the conditioning. I know both of his parents had this emotional authority, so they thought they slept on their decisions. And so that's how you were taught to make decisions. So you didn't you do you and I know this about you, you don't necessarily trust that gut response instantly, because then you're like, oh, but, and you get into all these reasons and all these pros and cons lists, and then your mind is swirling. And this is ha what happens, like, it, not just you, clients I've worked with, they're like, okay, so I know this is what I need, and this is like what my gut is telling me. But then they're like, oh, but there's this, and then there's that, and then like if we move now, then we will we have enough money, or if we do this, will we do blah 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 blah. They get so in their heads because they've not been able to like really trust that inner gut knowing, that gut response. And I can see it on your face when it happens, and you're like, ah. There's this like lit upness, and this happens with almost everybody that I've worked with that has this trust your gut. There's like this, their eyes sort of pop. But you can see instantly when they're getting into their minds, because they're like, Heather's doing it. Like she's just like, yeah. But oh, but there's this, and there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this. So then there's this piling on. And there was this initial gut response, and I knew that, and I think we had that at about the same time, and I slept on it, and I was like, yes, this feels good. And you had gone in so in your mind that you're like, but the money, and but this, and but that. And when you start getting into the buts or the shoulds, that's when you know that your mind is no longer making your decisions for you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay. So let me go back to our presentation. Any other questions before we go on? Okay. All very good questions. I'm surprised nobody had questions on their type, but I feel like type is kind of like, you just feel into it, and you're like, oh yeah, that describes me pretty well. Okay.
I do
So,
have a quick question, Erica.
yes.
When we're talking about type. So I was thinking about that, and it came down to, so am I to wait every time on an invitation? Because as an entrepreneur, it's like part of my job is to actually share the message or to sell or to. Or is that speaking more of personal relationships when we're waiting for an invitation? Like,
It's
how do.
all of it. All of it. So, as an entrepreneur, it's even more important than even in personal relationships. So, let me go back to that piece here. Sorry for this. Scroll. Okay.
Sorry to ask my question late.
No, it's great. It's a really, really good question. So, this is where you need, by saying, I am offering this to you, then that is opening the door up for that invitation. So, for example, I saw an ad from one of my teachers. Actually, I saw an Instagram post from one of my teachers. She's a projector. Her name is Erin Claire Jones, and she's written a fantastic book called How Do You Choose? This is in the resources that I'll send to you. And so just by me seeing her Instagram post, that was allowed me to invite her in to my life. And so I was, and then I was like, oh, I need to know more, and I need to know more, and I need to know more. So that is like, she has this sort of penetrating aura where she's like, I have this. Like she's putting out the carrot, and I'm, because being who I am as a generator, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna bite. And so by her saying that she's offering this, then she's opening the door up for invite for people to invite her in. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, because I've noticed I lean more towards, especially if I'm putting a sale out there, working with ChatGPT is I'm more comfortable with an invitational way of selling. Is that kind of the same? Or
Yes.
just sharing when I'm doing social media posts?
Serious, just sharing, like, here's what I'm offering. Here's what I've got for you. And I know your social media posts. And so by you saying, like, I teach you this, then they're like, oh, I want what she's giving. I want some of that.
Okay.
So being really, it's really important for you to be like, not just here's the what I have to offer, but realizing that you have something special. And you can even tell people, I can see things that you can't see. And not in a creepy way, but more in
Right.
a like, I can see the gaps that you might not see for yourself. I can see this bigger picture for you. I can see things that for example, when I know you work with actors. So, like being able to see where they're not doing things in an audition that maybe are keeping them from getting more jobs, that can be really powerful to say, you know, I have some feedback that I would love to share with you. And then that is them saying, oh, yes, give that to me.
Okay.
So, you and be. Projectors don't realize the gifts that they have. And I'm going to, when I should, I'll send you, when you reply back with the replay, that goal setting piece actually has a lot of information on like how you can also offer your things to people. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to go back here. Okay, so if you are ready for a deeper check-in and to understand more about how human design can work in your life, I am doing what are called life and energy audits. And if you're always the one who's like, I am the only person in my family holding it together, and you're also exhausted, like so many women in midlife are. This session is really just a pause button. It's a check-in to see where your energy is going, what's working for you, where things are draining you, and what you actually need right now. A lot of times it might not be booking that retreat, you know, for 8 days in Mexico. It might just be that like you need to start going to bed earlier. So we look into five areas of your life. And there is no prep for this. There's no pressure. This is a conversation to get started to help you start to reconnect to what really matters to you in your life. Because if you've been feeling really stretched thin, or you are stuck in the mud, or you just don't feel like yourself, so many women in midlife don't feel like themselves anymore and they don't know what they want. So, this is a really great place to start. And you will get the link in the replay for this. So just a few things about what my clients are saying. I have seen how human design can really transform people's lives, not just for the person, but for a family. And just feeling like, oh, I actually have something to offer, but my kids also have something to offer. And one of the things that's part of my life's work, and Victoria says this really well, our sessions have been full of aha moments that really helped her reclaim her self-confidence and then feel like she was could make some positive change in her life. So I want to invite you to book that call with me. And if you are interested in more human design workshops, I have more workshops coming up in November, and there will be more coming in December and January. So the next one is the energy map, which is about your human design centers, which are the shapes in your chart. And then in late mid-November, is one that I'm super duper excited about. And I am just learning about this myself, and I just feel like I need to share this with people. It is all about the fears and how they show up in your human design and how they are keeping you stuck and how they are actually stopping you from taking more action in your life. So watch your email for those. You're all on my email list. By registering for the workshop, you got added to my email list. So those workshops, stay tuned for those workshops. You can sign up there and then also watch for your email for the coming weeks. So any other questions? That is all I've got for today. Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me. This has been so fun. I hope you had fun too, and I will talk to you all soon. Watch for that replay email with the bonus. So I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you.